but I am not a coward. The ACLU seeks to redefine marriage in Pennsylvania. It says this week the ACLU filed a lawsuit challenging Pennsylvania's Defense of Marriage Act. This is something that the American Family Association has warned about for years. Without a marriage protection amendment, we are one lawsuit away from our DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, being declared unconstitutional by an activist judge. Now, many times, you know, regardless of what political association you have, I'll just speak forth the word of God, and that's the way it works. And not wanting to be partial, listen to this, with our wonderful Republicans out there. For the past two legislation sessions, State Representative Daryl McAfee has introduced a strong two-part amendment with language modeled after Florida's amendment, which passed with a 61% of the vote. Even though we have a Republican governor, Republican State House and State Senate, there's apparently no courage to take on the Pennsylvania homosexual lobbies and their allies in an effort to protect this one man and one woman marriage here in the Commonwealth. Few House members will even have the courage to sign on as a co-sponsor to this session of MPA House Bill 1349, etc., etc. So I'm going to leave this action alert on the back, and it can tell you what you can do about contacting your state representative and tell them to get off their butts and to do what's right. And again, it's Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter, because the devil's still the god of this world, and people, they cowered. They just cower.
Democratic woman, Kathleen Kennedy, stood up today and said she is not back in any
vote. There you go.
And they said they're going to impeach her.
because she's not allowed to have free will or a choice, right? No, I know, but they're going to impeach her because she's not allowed to have free will. She has to go along with everybody else, what they want. That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I wanted to talk to you about tonight is saying no. Ever hear a title that short? Saying no. And, you know, if you study through the Bible, you will come to realize that a lot of people get themselves in trouble because they don't know how to say no. Yeah, but you don't like hearing it though, do you? Even when people know they should say yes to someone or something, instead of or even though when they should say no, that it's a lot of times people are forced into saying yes. And they know that when they say yes, this is going to add more stress to my life, and it's going to take more time out of my already busy schedule, but I'm going to say yes. So what I want to talk to you tonight about is how to say no and why you should say no, and how biblical and godly it is to say no and to learn how to do that, because people get themselves in all kinds of trouble because they don't know how to say no. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't like to say no. They don't like to say no. Sometimes they feel bound by obligation that they have to say yes. They feel obligated to a cause, to a purpose, to a people, to family, for whatever reasons that they have to say yes. Some people fear that if they say no, they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, they don't want to let someone down. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They don't want to make waves with somebody. So they'll say yes even when they don't want to say yes. Okay? then you got a category of person that thinks that they can do everything, and they attempt to try to do everything. But sooner or later, you must realize that you can't do everything for everybody, because eventually you're going to wind up burning out. They're good-hearted, but they don't think sometimes, and they just are all over the place, and they sell themselves short. And many times when you do that, your family suffers, your business suffers, your sleep suffers, your mental life suffers, your spiritual life suffers, a lot of things, different things suffer. When you can't say no, you give up what's essential to you in favor of what people want. You also put yourself on the fast track to meltdown. When you take on more than you can handle, everybody sooner or later will eventually burn out. Plus, it makes you grumpy. And you take it out on the people you shouldn't take it out on. You know what I'm saying? You may never have done all this stuff, but, you know. Genesis chapter 2. If you want to go there, you can. If you don't, you can listen. But this is really, it's an important thing that you get this tonight. Because you'll be able to take what I teach you tonight, and if you practically apply it in your life, you'll free yourself up, and you'll prevent yourself from making a lot of mistakes. In verse 16, it says, "The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely what?" There you go. Now, if Adam and Eve were ever going to be tempted to eat of this tree, it basically would boil down to, in the end result, a simple yes or what. When you break it all down, I know about obedience, I know about love, I know about all this other stuff, but when you break it all down and it comes out to the reality of the matter, you're either going to say what? Yes or no. And it was Eve's inability to say no that got things messed up. And it was Adam's inability to say no that got things even worse messed up, right? And see, that's right at the beginning. Right at the beginning of creation, in what we know, and the garden and paradise and all this stuff. So how important is it for us to be able to learn how to say no and why we should say no? If Eve simply would have said no, devil, we wouldn't have had this problem. If Adam simply would have said no, devil, we wouldn't have had this problem. But they didn't. So what is it that compels man, that compels woman to say yes when they should say no? Well, Genesis 3:6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good and that it was pleasant, a tree to be desired, to be wise, she took and she did what? She ate." She had free will to say no, but she thought she'd be missing out on something if she did. Did you ever do that? Did you ever do something or say yes to something because you figured you're going to be missing out on something? She was missing out on something, all right, but it wasn't good things. The devil just tricked her. So what'd she do? She doubted God. She believed the lies of the serpent that was feeding her, and she walked off, and she said, okay. And, you know, sometimes when the devil's involved, not saying no is saying yes. Even if you don't make a decision sometimes, you allow him to move on and continue to bother you. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. Did your kid ever tell you, or did you ever hear this before? Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't do it. Yeah. Right? Because not saying no in certain situations in people's minds is saying what? Yes or maybe or whatever. Yeah. 2 Samuel 11, look at this one. Verse 1. "It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at where? It came to pass at evening time that David arose from his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman taking a bath, and she was beautiful. And David sent and inquired of the woman, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of so-and-so, wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and what happened? She laid with him, such and such, and the woman conceived, excuse me, and it was told to David that, what? I'm with child. Now, here's a situation where David didn't say what? No. He didn't say no. And, of course, you know what happened. And it's a situation where David continued in sin for a while. Because you know what he tried to do and what he eventually did do to this woman's husband. But it boiled down to, very simply, him making a decision. Him making a decision to say yes to taking another man's wife, or to say no to taking another man's wife. And what he did, he didn't say no. He didn't say no. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm just going to show you a few of these through the Word of God, because it's a short word. It only consists of two letters, but it's so powerful, and it could change the tide of human history. And that's what people don't understand. And then a little later on in this teaching, I'm going to show you how to say no from different research and studies I've looked at. In 1 Kings chapter 13, talks about a prophet. And it says, verse 1, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of God unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." Well, verse 4 says, "It came to pass that when Jeroboam heard the prophecy of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold of him, and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he couldn't pull it in," what? Again. Well, the king learned that who was the boss in that situation, and it was the prophet, it was the man of God. He beseeched the man of God, and he said, "Will you pray for my hand?" And he said, "I'll pray for your hand." He said, "But, you know, this is what's going to happen." Well, he did that, and his hand got restored. Now, in verse 7, it says, "And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." Now, here's the man of God's response. "And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me the half of thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, turn not by the same, and such, so forth." He said what? He said no. But the devil didn't give up on this guy, because as you continue to read the word of God, you'll see that another guy comes on the scene, and he declares himself as a prophet. And he says, go find this prophet, and then he says, come on back with me, come and eat, so forth and so on. Look at verse 15. "This prophet said unto the other prophet, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I'm not going to return with you, neither I go such and such, for it was, you know, told me, don't do such and such by the word of the Lord, and don't go back the way that thou camest." He's got it right. But look what happens. "He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back to thee to thy house, do such and such, such and such." If you read the record, it says, but he lied. He lied. And so you know what the prophet did, the man of God did? He said, yes, when he should have kept to his no. You know what that teaches you sometimes? You got to stick to your guns. Because sometimes the devil will try to talk you out of your no to get you to say yes. He didn't give up, right? You got to stick to your gun. So when you say no, and it's a right no, you do what? Stick to your guns. Especially if you have children. Because if you say no to a child, the child's sole mission in life from that point on is to get you to say what? Or change your mind. I don't care where you go in the world, what country you're in, and what language they speak, they all do the same thing. Yeah. It's their default mechanism. That's what that means. It's inbred into them. I don't know where it comes from. Well, this guy should have said no. He should have kept to his guns. Look at verse 24. He didn't. He went back. He ate his last meal. You want to talk about the Last Supper? This is it. And the lion, verse 24, he was gone, met him and slew him, and his carcass was cast in away, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the what? He should have stuck to his guns, huh? Do you ever do that? Do you ever say you start out saying no to something and then get hornswoggled into a yes, and then about a little bit down the road realize, this was really a bad idea. I should have just said no, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, right? Because the devil's relentless. He won't give up. He won't give up. Look at Numbers 22. So in that particular case, the man lost his life. So having the ability to say no can be as important as a life-changing decision. You know, I told you the story lots of times about my cousin and about her son, and she told him, don't go to this party. And, yeah, mom. And then when mom left, the kid went to the party. There happened to be a fight at the party. There happened to be a gun at the party. He wasn't even involved in the fight. The bullet hit him, and now he's a quadriplegic, whatever the hell you call it, and he's in a wheelchair. Because he didn't say no. Sure, I'll come. Yeah, I'll come. You know, the other people know stories of this. Don't do this, don't do such and such, and they turn around and do whatever, and something bad happens. That doesn't happen all the time, but you got to be able to say no, and you got to be able to stick to your guns. In Numbers 22, look at verse 9. God came unto Balaam, and he said, what men are these that are with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, had sent unto me, behold, there is a people that come out of Egypt, which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not what? Go with them, nor you should. Oh, you're going to curse them because they're my people and they're what? They're blessed. Well, you know the rest of the story. And the rest of the story hinged on Balaam couldn't say no. They came, they said, and God said, if they do this, and if they do that, and if they do that, then you can, but Balaam just up, because he couldn't say no. That's what happened. And God had to take a donkey to straighten him out. So what's that tell you? That sometimes when you aren't able to say no, that even a donkey's smarter than you, right? Look at Judges chapter 16. Here's one you all know about a wonderful little cutie. Her name was Delilah. And in verse 13 says, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if you weave seven locks out of such and such, she fashioned him such and such. She said unto him, verse 15, how can you say I love you and your heart's with me because you've mocked me and such and such. And verse 16, and it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his what? Now here's the strongest guy in the world, right? And it says that she beat him up so bad, she beat him with her tongue. She was relentless. And it says that she beat him so bad that his soul was vexed under what? Death was a welcome friend to him. Let me just die. Get out of here. And when he should have said no to her, what did he say? He told her the secret. Now, what's that tell you? That should tell you no matter how strong you are, no matter how big you are, no matter how whatever you are, every what? No. There's one in every group. No, women are not evil. Everybody has an Achilles heel, right? And she found the devil knew what Samson's weakness was. There it was. Yeah. Hey, look at Proverbs 22. Listen to this one. I'm going to read you this out of the New Living Translation. It does a real good job, I think, of communicating the heart of the verse. And again, we're just looking at the ability to just say no when you should say no. And say yes also when you should say yes. There's situations where you need to be able to do both. Proverbs 22:26. New Living says, do not co-sign another person's note or put up a guarantee for someone else's loan. That's a bad thing to do. Bible says that. But he's a believer, and he's a good person, and he works for me. I had all those situations all fall into line one time. He's a believer, he's a good person, and he works for me. So you know what I did? I signed for another person's note on an automobile. But you know what I didn't know at the time? I didn't know at the time that if the person was late on their payment, it reflected on me. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. I had to have a bank tell me that. Now, my credit was, I don't have a lot of things that are impeccable, except for my appetite. But my credit's impeccable, okay? And it wasn't until that happened that, of course, we got it straightened out with the manager of the bank, and it was late, but they made sure it was expunged. And you don't do that. Don't do that. Verse 27 says, I'll read this out of the New King James, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? In other words, why should somebody come and get your house and take away that which you have because you signed for somebody's note where you should have just said to the person, no, I can't do it, I can't help you. You know, do you ever get talked into doing something that you really shouldn't do financially because you trust someone or your heart goes out to someone or you want to help someone and then realize a little bit down the road, that was a bad decision. And you know what it hinged around? Not being able to say no. Because you didn't want to hurt them, you didn't want them to feel rejected. You got all these reasons, but you should have just said no. Now there are people in the Bible who did it right. There are records in the Bible where they knew what the word said and they did what the word said. Look at Genesis chapter 14, for instance. And the temptation was there, the booty was there, the allure was there, but still they knew what the word said and they knew that if they got involved in this, that it wouldn't be a right thing. Right? Remember Jehoshaphat, was it? He made an ungodly alliance with King Ahab, was it? And the prophet, after everything happened, he said, why should you make an ungodly alliance with someone with such and such? He should have just said no. God profited him. God gave him wealth. God gave him honor. He didn't need any of that stuff to make that ungodly business alliance. But he just didn't say no. Not only that, he made a marriage alliance for his daughter. But we're looking at people who did it right. Look at Genesis 14. I read this to you a week or so ago, this particular record. In verse 22, talking about Abram, and he came and he returned and got his nephew after those kings took him away and all the people back. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, this king came out and he said he wants to reward Abram now for all this that he did. He said, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, most high possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even of thy shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shalt say, I have made Abram what? He said, no. The guy wanted to bless him. He wanted to give him something, right? And God told Abram ahead of time, and Abram's heart was he served God, and he wanted everybody to know that it was for God's glory, and God was the one that delivered him, and God was the one that profited him. He said what? He said no. Remember Naaman, the leper, and he wanted to give the prophet a gift, and the prophet said what? But what did Gehazi say? I'll take that. And he slithered around, lower than a pregnant aunt's belly, and he found the guy down the road, and he says, is everything okay? Yeah, he said, but he said, he changed his mind, give him a couple things. And he became a what? Yeah, he did. Abraham, he did it right. Look at 2 Samuel. This is really remarkable, because we know that David was a wonderful man. He was a man after God's own heart, and he was human. He made mistakes. But God's testimony of David is that he was a wonderful man. But it's ironic in looking at these records in light of what I'm teaching you about learning how to say no, where David was weak and he didn't say no. Now follow this. 2 Samuel 11:11. So David, he conjures up this plan. So he says, get me Uriah back here because this girl is knocked up. And I want to get Uriah with her so we can just smooth over this. And he thinks it's going to be his child. And in verse 11, it says, Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat, to drink, and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul livest, I will not do this what? Is that guy a man of integrity? The one who should have been saying no was who? And here's this guy. What kind of character and sterling integrity does that man got? And, you know, and then you know the record. David wasn't even happy with that. He went ahead and he had to just get him out of the way. It's really a sad story. And it just goes to show you the depth of despair and deception that a man will submit himself to, will sink to when a woman's involved. And it's a wrong relationship. It just goes to show you. Let's look at another one who did it right. We can't leave this one out. Luke chapter 4. He always did it right. That's our Lord Jesus, right? Luke 4, verse 1 says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted of the devil 40 days. And in those days, such and such and such and such. And every time the adversary came to him, Jesus quoted on the word of God. He, in essence, said no to what the devil was offering. He didn't agree with the devil. He didn't accept what the devil was handling him. He didn't say yes to the devil. He said what? He said no. Now, if you say yes to something, that doesn't mean you're bound for the rest of your life to commit to do that in some situations. Okay? It may be uncomfortable for you to go back and say, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I really opened my mouth when I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry to say I can't fulfill that obligation. I can't do that. And the Word of God teaches that. You understand? It doesn't mean, because if you say yes, I'm not talking about marriage, okay? I'm not talking commitment, covenant. I'm not talking about that. Because we know women are evil, right, Jim? Yeah. So we don't want to give you a way to think about anything or anybody else. I'm talking about certain things that you get yourself mixed up into that you know you shouldn't get yourself mixed up in. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 1. I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible in basic English translation. Listen to this. My son, if you have made yourself responsible for your neighbor or have given your word for another, you are taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. The sayings of your lips have overcome you. Anybody ever fall into that situation? And after the words came out of your mouth, you said, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Do this, my son, and make yourself free, because you have come into the power of your neighbor. Go without waiting and make strong requests to your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes or rest to them. Make yourself free like a roe from the hand of the archer and a bird from him who puts a net out for her. Go and talk to the person and say, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I was a jerk. Say whatever you got to say. But I can't do this. You understand? There's situations where you say things and you do things that you shouldn't say or do. You make mistakes. But just because you make a mistake, it is not integrity and honor to continue in that mistake so you can say, I don't go back on my word. If you make a mistake and you realize it's a mistake, you need to be honest and do the right thing. And the right thing is to go to that individual and say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Maybe I can help you find someone to fulfill that obligation for you. Or maybe I can think it through which and help you in another way. You understand? But you don't. That doesn't commit you to do evil. And then you're going to say to yourself, I don't go back on my word. Well, you don't go back on your word to do evil? Whose word is more important, your word or God's word? You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of people get these things and say, well, I said I'd do it and I got to do it. No. And I'll tell you another thing in the Bible. I don't have time to go there, but there's a record where a young woman says something that she shouldn't say. And as long as she's living under the father's house, it says if the father goes and cancels that vow, that she's freed from it. But if the father hears the vow and allows her to do whatever, he says, then she's got to fulfill the vow. Okay? So you as parents is the point. If you see your children committing to something that they really shouldn't be committing to, you as a parent have the right and ability to say, you know, let's talk about this and maybe, you know, whatever. Well, you can't do that when they're 19, 20 years old maybe. When they're younger, you can. Let me talk to you about some research I've studied out. One of the studies asked 30 working women to sign up for a health and wellness seminar. All the women were told to think of long-term health and wellness goals that were important to them. And then the researchers split the women into three groups of 10. So you got 30 women, 10, 10, 10. Group one was told that anytime they felt to lapse on their goals, they should just say no. This is how we want you to deal with the temptation to not work out and do whatever. Just say no. The group was the control group because they were given no specific strategy. They were going to control what was going on by just saying no. That's what they called it, the control group. Group two was told that anytime they felt to lapse on their goal, that they should implement the can't strategy. I can't. For example, I can't miss my workout today. So group one was told, no, I'm not going to miss my workout. Group two was told, you respond when you feel a temptation. I can't miss my workout. Now the third group, anytime they felt tempted to lapse on their goal, they were to implement the don't strategy. Don't strategy. For example, they were to say, I don't miss workouts. That's how they were to handle it. For the next 10 days, each woman received an email asking her to report her progress. And they were specifically told that during the 10-day window that they would receive emails that would remind you to use the strategies and to report the incidents in which it worked or didn't work. And if the strategy was working for you, just to drop a line and say no and stop responding, but do not stop responding to the emails. Here's what the results look like after the 10 days went past. Group one, you'll remember they were the just say no group. 3 out of 10 members who persisted with their goals for the entire 10 days. Only 3 people were able to get through a 10-day commitment by just saying no, I'm not going to miss, no, I'm not going to miss, no, I'm not going to miss. Group two, they were the can't group. 1 out of 10 who persisted with their goals for 10 days. So the one that employed this strategy, oh, I can't miss my workout, I can't miss my workout, only one of them was successful. Group three, though, the don't group, had an incredible 8 out of 10 members who persisted with their goals for the entire 10 days. Just by simply changing what they said. They didn't say just no. They didn't say I can't. They said I don't. They said I don't. The words that you use not only help you make better choices on an individual basis, but it makes it easier to stay on track with your long-term goals. Why I don't works better than I can. Your words help to frame your sense of empowerment and control. Furthermore, the words that you use create a feedback loop in your brain that impacts your future behavior. For example, every time you tell yourself, I can't, you're creating a feedback loop that is a reminder of your limitations. This terminology indicates that you're forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do. I can't do this, oh, I can't do this, oh, I can't do this. You understand? So you're forcing yourself to do something that possibly you don't want to do. In comparison, when you tell yourself, I don't, you're creating a feedback loop that reminds you that you control, that you have control and power over the situation. It's a phrase that can propel you towards breaking your bad habits and following your good ones. The difference between saying I don't and I can't. I don't is experienced as a choice, so it feels empowering. It's an affirmation of your determination and will. I can't isn't a choice. It's a restriction. It's being imposed upon you. So thinking I can't undermines your sense of power and personal agency. In other words, the phrase I don't is psychologically empowering. It's a psychologically empowering way to say no, while the phrase I can't is a psychologically draining way to say no. Draining way to say no. So when you say I can't, that leaves an opening that perhaps if circumstances and situations were different, that you could. Now, there's sometimes I can't may apply, but there's sometimes I can't shouldn't apply and you shouldn't use it. You know, if something is sin, it's wrong, right? You don't say I can't. If you're a married man and a woman comes up to you, if you're a man, and she propositions you, you don't say I can't. You should say I don't, because I'll get killed. Because women are evil. No. No, you're not. You're wonderful, sweetheart. The I don't is more definite. It's, this is the way I am. This is what happens. This is what I allow in my life. This is what I don't allow in my life. That's the way it works. Okay? Now, in closing, let me give you some things that I've read and studied out on techniques on how to say no. Okay? What it is not. You don't say, no, women are evil. That's the first one on the list. Don't do that. All right, now the second one on the list. Sometimes you can say, not now. Not now. It softens the blow and keeps the door open for another time. It's not a definite no for the rest of your life. It's not now. And again, it's a soft way of saying it, but, you know, maybe tomorrow. Can you throw the ball with me? You know, not now, I'm busy or whatever. But that doesn't mean that tomorrow you can't answer the same question and maybe tomorrow be yes. But in that circumstance, another way to say no is I have another commitment. I have another commitment. No excuses required, and you show them, the individual, that you honor your commitments, that you've said that you had to do this and such, and you made that plan. So if you can't do it, you can't do it. But you don't have to go, now, I have another commitment, right? How about this one? Maybe I can help you find someone who can. I can't, or no, I can't do this, I have another commitment. or I'm sorry, I can't do this right now, but maybe I can help you find someone who can. A lot of times, if I'm busy and somebody needs something, I'll get on the phone and I'll ask, you know, believers, or I'll ask someone, can you help so-and-so, or can you fill in, or could you do such-and-such? And then this way you show that person that you respect them and that you're genuinely concerned about their need. It's not that you don't want to help, it's just that you can't do it at that time. You're committed somewhere else. Another way to say no, someone writes, I have a personal policy about such and such. If someone asks you to do something, that disagrees with what you want to do and what you don't want to do. Another way is, I don't want to take on that which I can't fully commit to doing well. I've said that to people a lot of times. I know that this is going to take a lot of work. I know what you're expecting. I know how much time it's going to require, how much thinking and attention to detail. And I'm going to be honest with you, if I did this job, I would want to put my whole heart, soul, and life into it, but I just can't do it. And it wouldn't be fair to me, it wouldn't be fair to you. That's a nice way of saying no. Now, you know, you're always going to get people that want to argue with you. You're going to say, well, how about this, and well, how about that? And let me tell you something that I've learned, and it's taken me, I'm just a slow learner sometimes, but let me tell you something. You're a believer. Your heart is you want to help people all the time. That's your heart, okay? That's just the way you are. So I know a lot of different church groups in the area, and, you know, we work on their cars and stuff, and I pray with these people in my office. I minister to these people when they come, and they know who I am. So when someone calls me, my heart goes out, and I just want to help. But, you know, if you got 13 cars lined up in the garage that you've committed to repair, and you got insurance companies waiting, you got people in rental cars, you got people waiting to get their cars back, such and such. When someone calls up and says whatever, you got to learn to say no. Because if you stop and say yes, then it's going to take away from all these other commitments that you made, and it screws your whole day up. It's just not, it's wrong. And I've had to learn to just say no, or maybe can you call so-and-so, maybe they'll help you, or be able to point them somewhere that they can get some help. Because you don't want to say no, but in the same token, you know there's no way in the world that you can do what's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to be yes. You know there's no way you can do it. Even if you cloned yourself, you couldn't do it. Because it's just... But sometimes we just do that. And I've had to learn in business to say no. And you want to know something? People appreciate no. You know what a funny thing is about no sometimes? The I'm going to die unless I get it done in the next 10 minutes all of a sudden turns into, well, you know, maybe I can wait till next week. I've been driving it this way for 2 months anyway. What's another week going to happen? So, you know, they want to take their problem and they want to hand it to you and say, here, I want you to have this. Now it's your problem. But it's an amazing thing that once, you know, I had one guy come in a couple weeks. It's got to be done such. Sorry. Been a customer for years. You got to go somewhere else. I can't make a commitment to you because I'm not going to be able to fulfill it.
We're leaving to go to Florida.
Sorry. Well, maybe we can put it off a week. They're going to put their vacation off, right? What's that tell you? He wasn't telling me the truth in the beginning, because ain't nobody going to put their vacation off for a stupid quarter-sized dent that they can drive a car with. Then all of a sudden, they get honest, right? My kitchen's got to be done by Friday because my whole family's coming up from the whole South, and we're going to have my 95th grandmother's birthday, who died 6 years ago, by the way. But they don't want to tell you that because my kitchen's got to be done. Let's go to Galatians, two more scriptures. When you say you can't commit to something to do it well because that's the way you want to do it, it's saying yes to higher standards. You know what I'm saying? You know? And people sometimes, they don't intentionally set out to draw you into their world and draw you into their confusion and draw you into their chaos. But that's the nature of the beast. And unless you know how to say no, their chaos, their confusion, and their problems will then become who? Your problems. And then you got to deal with them. And it all could have been avoided by two little letters. No. I love you, but no. Galatians 5. Look at this one. How many people have fallen prey to this one? Verse 1. Stand fast therewith in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of what? Now you get around these charismatic leaders and they're wonderful, and then a little bit, and then they take a little more, and then they start to infringe and impose a little rule, a little regulation here, a little law there, a little levy here, a little bit there, and a little bit there. And you know, you should say no. I should have said no 30 years ago. That's what you're saying to yourself. And I had a chance to say no 30, but I didn't say no. And then you're strung down the line and you're out here somewhere and you look and you say, how did I ever get here? Because you didn't say no. And the last one we're going to look at tonight is in James chapter 5. So my heart in sharing this with you is not to make jest or light of it. It's really, if you think it through, if you don't develop the ability to say no, or I don't, or whatever works for you. And you know, when you start looking around for this type of research and this subject, there's like a billion books written. The perfect way to say no. The empowering way to say no. How to say no. Like all kinds of oodles and oodles. Because you know why? Because there's a need. Because people don't know how to say no. And if you can't say no, you're not in control of your life. Because people will then direct your life all over the place. They don't mean to, but they will. And you know, you love people, you want to help people, but you know what? You got to say no. James chapter 5, verse 12, here's a great one. Very simple, God puts it. The end of the verse says, let your yea be yea, and what? Your nay be nay, lest you fall into what? Trouble. And that's a good one to put on your refrigerator, right? Now, that doesn't mean if you say no that you can't change your mind. Because I've said no times, and I've listened to my wife, I've listened to other people, and I was just wrong. So you know what I did? I changed my mind. Why is it when you do that, it's honorable, and you feel good about it? Now, you're going to be consistent in your logic. Why is it when you say yes, and then you got to go back and say no, that you feel bad about it? Does that make sense? Because if it makes sense that when you say no and change your mind to the yes, you should feel bad about that too, right? No. See, it's because we get ourselves all goofed up in our heads. It's what we think and how people are going to respond and how this, that, and the other thing. And you know what? Sometimes people don't respond the way you think they're going to respond. They may just smile and say, well, I understand. Thanks for telling me. I know what I need to do, find somebody else. And that's a blessing, and that's being honest. So, Father, thanks for your word, and thanks that we can learn how to say no in a godly way, and that we can learn how to say yes, Father, when the reason is to say yes. And that in doing so, we not only will do your word and do your will, but we won't empower people's weaknesses to depend on other people instead of depending on you. And that we don't take your place, Father, and that we can just be our best for you. Being our best for you includes the ability to say no. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.